My father's people all came from Scotland. They were Scots Presbyterian, and they came over to work on to own farms and a mill. The first ones come over owned 5 farms and 1 mill. My mother's people were all from Wales. In fact, her grandmother never spoke a word of English. It was all Welsh. But they came over to work in the slate quarries.
Speaking of slate, what do you remember about the slate industry that existed there?
I remember very little, because most all the big quarry work and all was over when I would start remembering anything.
What time period would that have been, that you say that probably was over?
I'd say roughly 1928 or 30 in that area.
You were describing your family a little bit. What did your father do for a living?
He worked at the Staso Milling Company. Growing up, he worked on Grandfather Davy's farm, but then when he got married, he worked at the Staso Milling Company.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had 5 sisters and 4 brothers. I was the baby of 10.
Okay. And did you live, right in downtown Whiteford?
Live on Chestnut Street in Whiteford.
Where
yes.
You're living now?
Yes.
In the same house?
Well, I first lived in we first lived in a house that was connected to Grandfather Beatty's farm, and then we moved up to this house. Now, my mother, when she was a child, lived there.
Now, you've seen, of course, having lived there all your life, you've seen a lot of changes into Whiteford. What are some of the ones that are most noticeable to you?
The farms slowly disappearing, and housing developments, and land that was so cheap years ago is now very expensive to buy. And there's a lot of stores. There's a little mini mall. We never had anything like that.
Speaking of how it's changed, and you mentioned, your family had the store that it went to, and you had a garden that you grew and so forth. What did you do in your spare time? Where did you go?
For entertainment, we did have a theater, and I spent a lot of time at the theater. And outside that, on a rare trip, we'd come to Belair, but most of it was all right there. But I can truthfully say my aunt lived down the road, had 12 children. Cousin lived on the other side, had 11. So there were 33 children in our 3 houses. We all entertained each other.
I would say it sounds
yeah.
like it. Where was the theater located that you were talking about?
On Main Street in Cardiff, which Cardiff and Whiteford are about the same town. separates is the Slate Ridge School.
Now, is that theater still in existence? It went out sometime ago.
Yes.
Do you remember when?
At least 15 years ago.
Okay. Can you describe your childhood a little bit? How would it be different, would you say, from kids of today?
Well, we didn't have the pleasure of having all these scooters, cars. We grew up, I'd say, poor compared to what people are today. But we always had fun, and we knew security and love. But we did not get the things that, and it was the last thing that anyone would think of was for you to have a car in high school. That was out of the picture. And we didn't expect things out. We enjoyed life. And we just didn't expect all the things that children today expect to have.
When you, did you have chores that you had to do, regular things that you were responsible for doing?
Just working in the lawn, that was about all.
And, you know, what kinds of things, you said you had large families, so you got together with them. Were there social events that went on in the town or the church that you attended?
Yeah, they always had, like, strawberry festivals, and some was going on at church quite often. And they did have a carnival every year and a parade, which were big events in those days for us. But it was quiet compared to today.
And where did you go to school?
Slate Ridge High School.
And where is that?
Right on the line between Cardiff and Whiteford. And I would like to say that we were taught the three R's, and 90%, I'd say, of everyone who graduated from Slate Ridge High School went on to college. And they don't teach like they used to in the lower grades, I mean.
Can you describe what your school day was like? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I love school. I look forward to going. And we go from like 8:30 to 4, I think it was those days. But our classes were always filled with that. You knew everyone. Their classes were small. And we had our school plays and different things that always kept us active. And we had some sports, basketball, and all. And it was just a very nice day. I looked forward and I hated when the school year was over. It was so different for us then. And we had wonderful teachers.
How'd you get to school?
Walk.
Is that way all the class, your classmates got there was walking?
Maybe if they wrapped too far in the country, their parents would drive them there and then pick them up.
Now, Slate Ridge School, was that an elementary school or elementary and high?
Elementary and high.
So you went from grade 1 to 11 or 12? 11 grades time. And so you were in the same building. How many students would you say went there?
Well, I'd say the average class was 17. So take 11 classes.
Right.
Maybe it was 200.
About 200 students.
Yeah.
And now you got to know the teachers pretty well, I guess.
Right.
Because it's a relatively small school and so forth. Do you still see any of those teachers?
Yes, I do. I see, well, one of the living treasures you have, Sarah Robinson Sullivan. And she was loved by everyone. And, of course, we had High Dooley, who still lives in that area.
Still a guidance counselor
at
North Harford High School.
North Harford. And he's about 80 or more. And but he was a good teacher, and we do every 2 years still have a Slate Ridge reunion, and some of the older teachers do come. In fact, we have students who graduated in 1928 that come to it.
So, now Slate Ridge, what are they doing with that school? Because it's no longer a school, right?
Well,
what's happening to it now?
A man from Aberdeen bought it and has put apartments in it. It's strictly apartments all through the school.
And do you recall when it stopped operating as a school, roughly?
About 1948 or 49.
So it closed as a school at
yes.
that time. Where did those students then go?
North Hartford.
Okay. For the high school?
Yes.
And how about for the elementary school?
The elementary, well, they went to North Hartford Elementary.
Oh, okay.
When the school closed, it closed completely.
Okay. When you were in school and you were trying to decide what you were going to do for an occupation for yourself, what made you take the path that you took? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I always wanted to be in politics. So I tried to take courses or something that would help me in politics. Now, I did do 2 years of pre-law, but then I knew I wasn't interested in being a lawyer. But my whole idea was, well, deep down in, I always wanted to get in foreign service, and I never pursued it and didn't get it. But that was my aim in life when I was a young man, to be in foreign service.
What do you think was the motivation for you to want to go into politics? Where did you get that idea?
My father and grandfather were very active in politics, and they instilled that in all of us to work in the party. And I remember when I was only maybe 10 years old, my father would take me out to political dinners, and I always loved, from that day on, I loved politics.
Well, what kind of jobs have you had when you got out of school?
I worked for the U.S. government at Edgewood for about a year. Well, before I went there, I worked in the summer when Bainbridge Naval Station was being built.
When was that, approximately?
In 1941.
So around World War II time.
Right. And then I went to work at Edgewood, and then I left there and went to Ballmer Gas Electric.
And what year did you go to the Gas Electric?
Well, I retired. I've been there 36 years when I retired, and I retired in 1980, I think it was. So
but you've been there a while.
Oh, yes.
Quite a while. And what did you do with the Gas and Electric?
I was in customer relations work. And in the last few years, I also did a lot of public relations work for them.
What do you recall the most about your job experiences? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, when I went to work at Ballmer Gas and Electric, it was one of the nicest jobs you could ever have. You knew everyone. Of course, Hartford County hadn't grown like it is now. And you knew all the people in the county. And you knew who would call really meant what they were saying or who didn't. But it was you were in touch with them all the time. And I looked forward to going to work every day. Gas Electric was very good to work there.
Well, you talked about how Hartford's changed, and you just mentioned it again before it had grown. What are some of the changes that you've seen throughout Hartford County, not just the Whiteford area, but throughout the county?
Farms slowly disappearing all over the county. The highways that have been built, and they are nice, but I used to leave Whiteford to go to work Gas Electric, and I might see 3 cars on the way down. Now sometimes you're bumper to bumper to get into Blair, any direction. But the farmland's disappearing. Everyone's selling off because it is very expensive to farm anymore. So that's the biggest thing. Aberdeen and the Haverty Grass area and all has grown in business very much. And Haverty Grass deserves credit for all their historical work they've been doing there.
Okay, now you were mentioning the roads, and you've talked about how the roads have changed and how this has affected our travel and so forth. Do you remember going to Baltimore when you were a young boy?
Yeah, when I was in high school or finished high school to go to.
As a child, though, say a 10-year-old child, did you get to Baltimore very much?
No.
Why would that have been?
Well, I didn't have a car. Or, I mean, my family only had one car, and if they go to use it for work or something like that. And we just didn't travel in those days.
Now, how long would you have imagined when you were, say, 10 or 11 years old to have gone from Whiteford to Baltimore had you gone in? How long do you think that would have taken you?
About 30 or 35 minutes.
Is that right to go into Baltimore in those days?
Yeah.
Okay, now, how long would you say it would take you to get there today?
I'd give myself at least an hour.
Okay, because the difference in traffic.
Okay.
How about from Whiteford to Bel Air? What would you say it would take you today, this being 2001, to get from Whiteford to downtown?
It takes me about 30 or 35 minutes.
So you mentioned before you only see three cars years ago. So how long would you say it's added to you, the travel time?
At least 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. As a young boy living in Whiteford, where did you travel to? Where would be places? I mean, kids today travel all over. Where would you have traveled?
The most I traveled would be to Charleston Beach in Cecil County. My father's first cousin had a summer home there. And I would go to Washington to visit my aunt. She was a school teacher and had left teaching and gone with the Navy Department. But that's the most I traveled as a young person.
And why? Just because the family was too busy doing other things?
Yeah,
or distances?
We were all located right up in that area.
Would you say that generally people didn't travel as much in those days too? They'd more have to stay home?
They stayed home, and very few people traveled in those days.
Yeah. Okay, now, do you recall what it was like for your family during the Great Depression years?
Well, I don't remember a lot of it. I do remember a little bit of it. My father and mother had it really rough. Anything my father had saved disappeared, and work was scarce, and my mother would do everything she could to make sure we had food on table. And I'm not ashamed to tell this. She would go out in the garden and pick up onions that you would throw away today and make gravy. She always had homemade bread. Well, I think back then I loved it as much if I went out for a lobster dinner today. But they had it tough. But everyone stuck together and helped each other.
Did you see much evidence of people having hard times in Whiteford during the Depression time, or Bel Air, or anywhere in Harford County?
No, I can't.
Okay. Not like the cities where people can grow food and things.
Where they had lines of people. Yeah. No, I didn't see that.
And you mentioned your dad's money had kind of taken a bump. Was it because it was in a bank that had closed?
Yes.
Okay. And so there was some of that, some of the banks closing, which caused problems.
A lot of people up there, the banks closed. And people really lost money.
During World War II, did life change for you and your family here in Harford County?
Well, I guess it changed very much for my family because I had three brothers in the service. And my mother, in 1 month, got a telegram that my brother Henry had been wounded very badly in New Guinea, was in the hospital. She got another one. My brother Pat was in a hospital there with malaria and didn't know if he'd make it. And my other brother, John Sappington Beatty, was killed in one of the islands. And that all happened in a month, that she got three telegrams. But even our neighbor, who was a cousin, their son was killed, and we had so many people around there.
And
families were getting telegrams.
Is that how they were notified, was by telegram?
Yes.
Did families who had lost someone in the war, did they display any kind of sign or anything like that in their door?
Yes, they would have a, in the window. I forget what it was, but they did have something in the window.
Did the town do anything in cases like that? Did they support the families?
No.
Just kind of...
Not that I mean, they were ready to help you, but they didn't come out and do anything.
Did rationing occur during the World War II period? Do you remember anything? Did you experience that rationing?
No, because I didn't own a car. And I guess there was other things like sugar and all, but no, we didn't have any problem with it.
Again, because you can grow a lot of stuff, too, that was been rationed that they couldn't. Now, were you in the military yourself?
Yes. I went in after World War II was over. Now, I was called up at the close to the end of World War II, but I failed the test because of my rapid fibrillation in my heart, not which I've had all my life. I still have it. And then during the Korean War, it was just getting over. They called me in, and they kept me. But I was stationed the whole time at Aberdeen Proving Ground.
That's amazing. Isn't it?
Well, I think they knew that I had three brothers, and one killed, two ill. And that's why I think, and my parents were getting old, and they stationed me close to where, of course, the war ended, and they stationed me close where I could be near my family, which I really liked, because when I got out, my father died 3 months later, and my mother 7 months after, I mean 4 months after that. Mm.
So what time period were you in?
I went in 48 and came out 1950.
50. So you were drafted into the military?
Yes.
At the time. In those days, they had the draft. Which
yes.
Was, there was real circumstances. You served for 2 years
yes.
in the Army. What did you do at the Proving Ground when you were in the
service? Worked in the commanding general's office.
Okay. So that some of those experiences help you, you think, later on, too?
I think so. I think maybe what helped me was BIVWAP, because I didn't like that at all. But it taught me to be tolerant.
As a kid, did you ever get to the old Harford County Fairs? It used to be held in the racetrack?
No.
Okay, so you didn't have an opportunity to travel down there. How about family reunions? Did you ever,
Oh, yes. We were all in the same area. As I say, maybe I shouldn't say this, but Louise Gore was on a run for congressman at large. They hadn't established the 7th district yet. And she told me, and I was just in young Republicans then, and I said, Louise, I'll work for you, because she and I have been great friends. And at the Stearns precinct, now don't hold me to this number, but I'll say 300 Republicans voted that day. Louise got 299 votes. Well, most of them were relatives or friends of mine.
That's good.
But they kidded me and said, what happened to that other vote? I said, well, I guess I went to the restroom.
That's very good. Stearns District, for folks that wouldn't know, where is that?
Stearns, well, for years, the voting was held at Slate Ridge School, and then it was held now at North Harford High. It started out in a person's home whose name was Stearns. That's why it's called the Stearns Precinct.
Very good. Well, did you ever get down to see any of the races at the old Bel Air racetrack?
No.
Okay. How about Havre Grace? You ever see anything at Havre Grace or anything like that? Okay. I know that you've crossed the Susquehanna River many times. How about, do you recall seeing that completely frozen?
Yes, I have. And I used the Susquehanna River in the summers. We used water ski on it. But I have seen it frozen.
Solid. Now, you're a member of what church?
Slateville Presbyterian Church.
And how long have you been a member of that church?
I guess now it's about 53 years.
And where? Give us just a little location for for someone who may not be sure of where it is.
Slateville is actually located outside of Delta, Pennsylvania. It's out in the country. And Slate Ridge was the original church. But then five or seven churches have left the original Slate Ridge and established big churches. And Slateville was one of them, and one of the main families was the Whiteford family that left. And most of the, when the Welsh church closed, most of the Welsh people went to Slateville. But we're out in the country, and it's been a beautiful church.
I know you've been a member for a long time. What kinds of activities have you been involved with there?
I taught Sunday school when I was younger. I've been a trustee and an elder, and I was charge of youth. I was advisor to the youth. And in those days, we had a good crowd. We'd average 35 or 40 young people at every Sunday night. We didn't meet every other week. We met every Sunday night.
That's good. Now, the history of the church, you gave us a little bit about. Is there any unusual things about the church, Slateville Church? Someone had mentioned to me that they still have the hymnals in Welsh. Is that?
Some of the songs are in Welsh.
Some of them are in Welsh.
But not all of them, just a few.
Okay. Every once in a while there's visiting groups from Wales that come over. Do they visit the church there?
Yeah, but most of it, they go to the Welsh church is still there. And they have a handful of people that keep the church going. But the church has been left so much money from the old Welsh people that own the quarries and things. And they also have a beautiful choir. And that choir just went to New York and sang at the Douglas wedding. The movie star. Michael Douglas. They sang at his wedding. And they're getting a reputation everywhere. They've gone to Wales. And that's from that little church in Delta.
It's amazing. It really is. Well, over the years, I know you've been extremely involved in numerous activities in the county. And one of them that you were very involved in was helping to found the Harford County Chamber of Commerce. Can you describe a little bit about the history of how that all came about, and how you got involved in that, and why?
Well, there was Dr. Bernardo and your brother, Roy Niebuhr. And the post office was calling us. They were getting so much mail from people out of the state wanting to know about who the realtors were. So we decided, we sat down and found some other people interested. And so seven of us got together and appointed a chairman, and I was secretary. I would have to walk out to Blair Post Office like three times a week. I'd do it on my lunch hour from Gas and Electric. And then I'd go in Gas and Electric on a Saturday and answer all the letters. And that's how we got started, and we finally went to Annapolis to get a seal, and we kept working and working trying to get people serve on the board of directors. And at that time it was tough because it wasn't a big outgoing business. But it slowly kept growing and growing, and they have a great Chamber of Commerce today.
I think it's the largest in the state, is it not?
And they're having a big anniversary, the 25th. We started 25 years ago, and they're having a what they call an anniversary gala. And Roy and I are the only two left out of the seven that started. So we're to be recognized and be their guests, which I'm glad because the tickets are $135 a piece.
Yes, that's when you want to be a guest. Right? So you saw a need and then basically just got some folks together and from there. And how long did you stay with the Chamber of Commerce, would you say, the seven folks who created it did? Or speaking for yourself, I guess.
Well, I stayed... 25 years ago. I must have stayed about 20 years. I became an associate member for a while. But I still get things on it. But to be active, I haven't been active for like 5 years.
But they didn't have an executive director when you had left, or did they?
No.
No. So that came along afterwards?
Yes. We met, Pat Scott had a office there above Boyd and Fulford. She let us use her office when we had our meetings, or Mr. Cronin let us use the office at the bank. And of course, Roy was an officer at the bank, and he had a key, so that's we started meeting in the homes first at Hamilton Amos or Dr. Bernardo, but ended up either Pat Scott's or Commercial Bank.
Pat Scott's office used to be Mr. Paul's.
Yes, Ed Hall.
Years gone by, if anybody remembers that. Now, also, you were an organizer for helping to get football at North Hartford High School, because it was the last high school in the county at that time to have football, I believe.
Yes, it was.
And could you tell us a little bit about your involvement there and how that came about?
Well, a couple of us started talking about we knew people wanted to play football. Now, with the greatest respect, because he was a great principal, Mr. Powell was not interested in putting football in North Hartford. So I think there was only five or six of us got together and organized a committee called the North Hartford Hawks End Zone Club. And then we knew we had to raise money, so all of us took different... I took all the businesses I could think of in Street, Jarrettsville, and all. And we had to start off at least with $5,000 in 2 years to put a junior varsity there. Well, I think we raised $7,000 the first year. So we went after the Board of Education, Mr. Powell, to put football there, and we got it. And we still have the Hawks Endzone Club. I don't belong to it now, I've outgrown it. But they still have a Hawks Endzone Club that we put on house tours. We did everything to raise money.
And did the Endzone Club also help to select their first coach, or was that done by...
No, we did it.
Okay.
I mean, we helped.
Helped do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And I know you've been involved in a lot of organizations, and I'm talking about outside politics, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But tell me some of the other organizations that you've been involved with in Canada.
Well, I was active and on the board of directors for the American Cancer Society, an officer and a director on American Lung Association. I was on Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee for about 12 years. I was on the committee at Hartford Junior College for Public Affairs, and I know there's more than that, I'm trying to think. And Hartford Opera Board, I was an officer in it, and which I still think was a great thing. I'm sorry, it's still not there. And I said Parks and Recreation, didn't I?
Yes, and I know you belong to many, many that you haven't even mentioned.
Oh, I know. I can't think of them.
Well, I want to talk a little bit now about the politics and how things have changed. You've been a longtime leader in the Republican Party in Hartford County. You already told us how you got interested in government. How was it that you got interested in the Republican Party?
Well, I guess strictly because my father and grandfather were so active. And in those days, you almost stayed the politics that your family was in. And now I am proud to say that in the last 10, 15 years, I vote for the better person, whether it's a man, woman, Democrat, or Republican. Of course, I always kid everyone and say, but I always find the Republicans the better person. No, but... I've always been active, and my parents, my father and grandfather, made sure I was interested.
So the family really determined not only your interest in politics, but also probably that you'd be interested in the Republican side.
Right.
Now, for folks who don't know, Republicans haven't always been as powerful as they are in this county, have they?
Now, when I started in Young Republicans It was 5-1 Democrat.
In the county?
In the county. And when I went on the Republican Central Committee, it was 4-1 Democrat. And Emma Jean Johnson and I were on that, was on this Central Committee for at least 35 years. And when we left Central Committee, we'd gotten it to 2-1 Democrat. And I can say it's now 1-1. And in fact, you could almost say, well, they do recognize it as a Republican county. Because when I say 1-1, there are Democrats who voted, always voted Republican, but they registered Democrats so they could vote in the primary. Because we didn't have primaries in those days.
Yeah, I know you've held a lot of different positions, not only in the Young Republicans, but in the Republican Party. Tell us some of the positions you've been involved with in the Republican Party.
Well, we had a first district, first congressional district at that time, which included 10 Eastern Shore counties, 2 Southern Maryland counties, and Harford County. There were 13 counties. I was vice chairman for quite a few years of that committee, first congressional district. And then, I've already said, I was on the Republican Central Committee for 35 years. Then I was on a state committee for and getting new people to register and work for the party. And I used to do some volunteer work in Annapolis at the headquarters, either on vacation or weekends. And I was a delegate to ADA. I went 9 times to political, and I was a delegate 8 times. And those days you had to, well, when it first started, you were appointed, but then later you had to run for election to delegate. So I am very proud to say the one time I ran, it included 13 counties. I led the ticket.
That's very good. Very good. Now, as a delegate to the conventions, what did you do?
We had to adopt different resolutions and what the party stood for. But we also, which I still like it the way it used to be, we would nominate the President and Vice President of the United States. Today it's all cut and dried. You know who the candidate's going to be before you ever go to a convention. Well, we didn't. I always think when I was a delegate to in Chicago, we had so many great men want to be President. It was Eisenhower, Taft, Stassen, MacArthur, Lodge. There had to be more now. And they were all serious about it. And we had to vote and decide who it was going to be. And it came down to Eisenhower or Taft. And, of course, you know, history, Eisenhower got it. But they were so interesting then because you didn't know who was going to be the choice till that convention was over.
Today, with all the primaries, and they've already have chosen their running mates,
yeah,
and all that.
You know everything. I don't think it'd be as interesting.
So the conventions today are more a show and party structure type
That's
things,
right.
And then they are what they were when you were involved with them.
Yeah, and they could do different things. When I was a delegate in San Francisco, I'd go back to my room. There'd be a huge basket of wine. Compliments of the mayor. Next day you'd have a huge basket of flowers. The governor of California. Every day you had big gifts. Well, now they're not allowed to do that. Which I can see in one way them not doing it. But another way, I loved
it. Who was the first president? What was the first presidential convention that you went to? Was it the Eisenhower?
Eisenhower. Yes, so in Chicago in 1945, wasn't it?
No, 52 maybe? It was after the war.
Oh, well, I'll take it back. That's the first one I voted on.
Okay.
I'd been to Philadelphia when Tom Dewey got in.
That was 48.
Yes. And then I went as a guest it had to be 44 then, with, he was state insurance commissioner. He was from Harford County. He's been deceased for years, but he was a delegate, and I went as his
Tom guest. Hayden?
No, Republican.
Oh, Republican.
Robin Wiley's father, I'm trying to think. Anyhow, I did go as a guest there. I went 1944, 48, then 52 was my first. Then I went to San Francisco in 56, and then the gas factory didn't want you to be active in politics. I had to take off a few years. But then they decided they needed politicians, so they let me go back into it, and that's when I did a lot of public relations work for them.
Very good. Well, now, we'll talk about these presidential conventions a little bit, because very few people have ever had that opportunity to be there and to be a delegate. Tell us some of the interesting things that you saw in any of those conventions that you attended.
Well, of course, I was always impressed by some of the delegates that were there. Like in Chicago, I was on the end seat, and right across from me was the California delegation, and the end seat of theirs was Irene Dunn. Well, today people wouldn't know who she was, but she was a great actress.
Right.
And, of course, I got to meet George Murphy, who later became U.S. Senator. And I got to meet Elizabeth Taylor, who hypnotizes you with her eyes, when she was married to Senator Warner at that time. But there was always the nicest receptions, and I said so many wanted to be president when I went to Chicago. I'd just get up in the morning saying, now which affair do I want to go to? There were so many receptions and parties besides your time on the convention floor. It was just a whirlwind of activities. And of course I took a young man with me to Chicago. He had won a scholarship to Yale. And he said, I'll drive you to Chicago if you take me with you. And I said, okay. And we had a good time. And, well, he went to my church also. But he looked just like Henry Cabot Lodge. People thought he was Henry Lodge's son. Yeah. But there was a lot going on. You got to meet so many interesting people. And through all this, me starting out young, so did Louise Gore, met Bertha Atkins, which a lot of people wouldn't remember today. But she was Eisenhower's Undersecretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. She started out as Dean of Women at Western Maryland College. She then later became co-chairman in the United States for Nelson Rockefeller when he ran for president. It was always, you always got to meet so many wonderful and interesting people.
I wanted to ask you about one of the conventions particularly. That was the one where the only person from Maryland ever was nominated for Vice President of the United States. What was that like being there for that?
Well, that was great. Now, you're going to have to tell you a story. I knew he was going to get it. But the day he was nominated, I wasn't there. Because I had gone, I'd had a call 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had reared two nephews, and the one was on his way back from Thailand. And he called me from California, and he must have talked an hour. And I said, Greg, you'll never be able to pay your bill. He said, oh, Uncle Kenny, I'm using your credit card. So as soon as I hung up, well, he told me, he said, I will be home Friday. They're going to process me right through. So I went to see Stanley Blair, who was Secretary of State, but also became one of Agnew's top men. And I said, Stanley, do you know anyone from Harford County who could use my ticket and get it on the convention floor? And he said, why? I said, because I'm going to leave tomorrow. He said, you can't leave. You'll miss history. being made. And I said, well, I will leave. And I said, I have to. No, you can't leave. So when I went back to my room, I said, is he trying to tell me Agnew's going to be named vice president? So I went back to his room and I said, are you trying to tell me that I can't leave because Agnew's going to be the vice president? He said, Kenny, the only thing I can tell you right now, you're going to miss history being made. And I said, I don't mean to be nasty, but Greg means more to me than Agnew does. And I'm going home. And so coming home, we drove then. I told my other nephew, don't turn that radio off. You're going to hear an announcement that Agnew's the vice president. And it was. It worked out. But I didn't stay for the actual reception. But I've known him. In fact, I've worked very hard for him when he became governor. But at that time, Greg meant more to me than politics.
Very good. Now, we're going to continue this interview on the back side of the tape. So if you'll turn the tape over, we will. Mr. Charles Kenneth Beatty's interview as a Hartford Living Treasurer. Mr. Beatty, I know you have seen a lot of changes in the county, some good, some bad, and you've seen a lot of things in the county. In fact, you've been part of a lot of them. I guess what I would ask you next is, what would you like to say to our future leaders of our county and our country about what should be done to make life better for Hartford Countyans and Americans?
One thing, I have so many complaints, or hear so many complaints, about our zoning and planning in Hartford County. I know people who was given land grants 100 or 200 years ago, and when the last lady died, she divided her farms up different ways, and she left 200 acres to four of her children because they were great acreage. And this one who was left, well, all of them were left 50 acres deep, wanted to build a new house. It took them at least 6 months before they could get a permit. And they almost lost their builders. But I was in church a couple weeks ago, another one came to me and said, it's our farm we've been on for years, but we want to build a home. And they just are held up constantly. There's something that's got to be done, or have someone who can look at these and carry them through. I don't care how many people have to sign or what they got to do. It's ridiculous that someone wants to build a home and have to wait 6 or 8 months to get a permit to build. And I can't say a whole lot against the roads, because I think Hartford County keeps up the roads great. Both the state and the county roads are good. And I guess if there's some way, although if I owned a farm, one to sell, but they got to stop this overpopulation. It is just growing too fast. There won't be any country left.
Nobody's tearing down any housing developments to build farms, are they?
No, just completely opposite. And I often wonder, like on Route 40 in Edgewood, Joplin area, how much the sewage and water down there. And I was on the water committee too, I forgot that, but my first appointment. But we used to laugh and say if everyone in Edgewood would flush their commode at the same time, it'd be a swamp. And that they're just everywhere now. I think Aberdeen Happygrass is making great strides in historical things, and I like this idea of the Cal Ripken Park in Aberdeen. I think it would go over great and could add a lot of money to our county. Now, I was disappointed that Connective wanted to build a substation in outside Whiteford on a farm, and the community opposed it. And so they just went across the road to Delta, And we lost thousands and thousands of dollars that would have been in our county if they would have let that power plant or substation be built there. But the people didn't realize, they just didn't want a substation. They didn't realize the money they were taking away from our county. But the overall picture, I love Hartford County. I think it's been a great place to live.
I think you live here another 70-some years?
I hope.
Well, thank you, Mr. Beatty, very much. You've seen many changes and interesting events and have given graciously of yourself to make Hartford County a better place. Thank you so much for sharing some of your memories with us today.
Well, thank you.